This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this special edition of our program, we continue to celebrate the legacy of the late Pope Francis. I am Festus Tarawali. The mortal remains of the late Pope were carried in procession on Wednesday morning from the chapel of the Casa Santa Marta residence to St. Peter's Basilica. The Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, led the rite of translation or transfer, and the Pope's body will lie in state so the faithful may pay their respects until his funeral on Saturday. Devin Watkins reports.
The rite of translation of the body of Pope Francis took place in the Vatican on Wednesday morning, led by the College of Cardinals gathered in Rome following his death. Cardinal Kevin Farrell, Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church, began the liturgical rite in the chapel of the Casa Santa Marta with a brief prayer for the soul of Pope Francis.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
In the opening prayer, Cardinal Farrell thanked God for the 12-year ministry of the late Pope.
Exact homo. Descendentes.
As we now leave this home, he prayed, let us thank the Lord for the countless gifts he has bestowed on the Christian people through his servant Pope Francis. Let us ask God in his mercy and kindness, continued Cardinal Farrell, to grant to the late Pope an eternal home in the kingdom of heaven and to comfort with celestial hope the papal family, the church in Rome, and the faithful throughout the world.
Christa fidelibus tota orbe diffusis.
The College of Cardinals then led the procession of the coffin through the Vatican Santa Marta Square, under the Arch of the Bells, and into St. Peter's Square. Over 20,000 people had gathered in the square to pay their respects to the late Pope, erupting into subdued but sustained applause as his coffin was carried up the steps and into St. Peter's Basilica. The late Pope's coffin was placed in front of the altar of the confession, and the choir chanted the Litany of the Saints in Latin for the repose of his soul. Cardinal Farrell then led a brief liturgy of the Word, which included a reading from the Gospel of John for Jesus' priestly prayer, proclaiming the love of God for him and for his disciples. Members of the College of Cardinals then paid their respects to the late Pope Francis, followed by the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Basilica. The basilica will remain open until his funeral on Saturday morning so that the faithful may pay their respects to the late Pope Francis. I'm Devin Watkins.
And as you heard in that report, St. Peter's Basilica will be kept open until midnight on Wednesday and Thursday to allow the faithful to pay their respects to the 88-year-old Pope who died on Easter Monday. The public viewing period will end on Friday at 7 p.m. local time in Rome. On Wednesday afternoon, the members of the College of Cardinals met in the new Synod Hall inside the Vatican for their second General Congregation. After the death of a Pope, the Cardinals hold General Congregations to discuss the plans for his funeral and the process of choosing a successor. A moment of silent prayer for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis opened the first General Congregation of the College of Cardinals on Tuesday. During the session, paragraphs 12 and 13 of Universi Dominici Gregis, the document on the vacancy of the Apostolic See and the election of the Roman Pontiff, were read aloud, outlining the responsibilities and procedures to be followed during the sede vacante or vacant see period. The Cardinal Chamberlain or Camerlengo also read to the Assembly the testament of Pope Francis. On Tuesday evening, Cardinal Pietro Parolin led the rosary at St. Mary Major, the second rosary prayed in memory of Pope Francis at the basilica the late Pope had chosen for his burial. In a brief reflection at the start of the liturgy, Cardinal Parolin recalled how Pope Francis offered his suffering at the end of his life for peace in the world and for fraternity among peoples. Also on Tuesday evening, during the rosary in St. Peter's Square, Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, the Dean of the College of Cardinals who led the Marian prayer, described Pope Francis as a pilgrim of hope. He said, hearing the words, "Do not forget to pray for me," which were heard so many times from Pope Francis, words that echo in our hearts, "We want to pray for him this evening," the Cardinal said. As Dean of the College of Cardinals, he will preside over the funeral mass of Pope Francis on Saturday at 10 a.m. in St. Peter's Square. In a statement on Tuesday, the Holy See Press Office announced that the mass will be concelebrated by patriarchs, cardinals, archbishops, bishops, as well as priests from across the globe. After the concluding rites, the late Pope's body will then be taken into St. Peter's Basilica and then to the Basilica of St. Mary Major for interment. Meanwhile, tributes for the late Pope have continued to pour in from across the globe. Recalling Pope Francis, who created him a cardinal in November 2020, the Archbishop of Kigali in Rwanda, Cardinal Antoine Kambanda, described the late Pope as a man of great love for all. He said Pope Francis is leaving behind three legacies: love and compassion, promoter of evangelization, and also of education. He spoke to our colleague Francoise Niamien.
"It's a moment of great sorrow for the church in the world and for the whole world, the loss of His Holiness Pope Francis, because he was a person who loved all people. He went beyond the borders of the church and embraced all people of all walks of life, non-Christians, non-Catholics, and of different categories. He was a friend of so many. So it is a great sorrow for all of us in the world today. His Holiness Pope Francis leaves us with, three legacies. First, he was a man of great love and compassion, which reveals his great love for God. And it is in this love of God that is the source of life of the neighbor. And for this, he was very much concerned for peace. And he was concerned for the vulnerable, the poor and the vulnerable. And that's why he was pleading for peace everywhere. In particular, on the African continent, the visits that Pope Francis made in Africa were visits in those countries which are troubled with war and violence. The first visit in Central Africa, pleading for peace, visit in DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, pleading for peace, and in South Sudan. We were touched by the images of Pope Francis kneeling and kissing the feet of the leaders of the conflicting parties in South Sudan, pleading that they become aware of their brotherhood and live in peace. This shows the great love he had and compassion for the people. The second legacy is evangelization. Pope Francis had called the church, reminded the church that its first mission is evangelization. And in Praedicate Evangelium, restructured the dicasteries in which the dicastery of evangelization, which combines evangelization in the north and in the south, in old Christian countries and in new Christian countries, that all need evangelization. For this also, he thought very much of Africa, because Africa is still a land of evangelization, where there are still people who have not had the chance to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third legacy is education. When he published Global Compact of Education, his concern was to see that the heritage of faith in education, of peace and brotherhood, can be transmitted to the young generation in preparing for the future of our world today, particularly for the African continent and the church in Africa. We elaborated African Compact of Education in Kinshasa in 2022, and 2023 we went to present it to him, and he revealed to us that actually the inspiration of publishing Global Compact of Education, he was inspired by an African proverb which says, to educate a child, it requires a whole village. It is from this proverb that he got the inspiration of Global Compact of Education, and he encouraged us very much to invest in education, because the continent has so many. He was very much pained by children who have no access to education. He told us there are 250 million of young people in the world who do not have access to education today, and the church should work upon it to make available to all young people education. This is a very important legacy, and education also is an approach of evangelization. Evangelization of today that will also have impact on the church of tomorrow.
Cardinal Antoine Kambanda of Kigali, Rwanda, the Catholic Archbishop of Abuja in Nigeria, Most Reverend Ignatius Kaigama, has also added his voice to the global tributes pouring in for the late Pope, as we hear in the following report by Delphine Asu.
Reflecting on the late pontiff's admirable attributes, Archbishop Kaigama observed that humanity was the Pope's constituency.
Pope Francis was a friend to Muslims, to Buddhists, Hindus. He had no boundaries, he had no barriers. Everybody mattered. Humanity, I would say, was his constituency, a moral authority. I would say somebody who was a moral compass, because he spoke on moral issues, ethical issues, and he identified with the poor and marginalized and the downtrodden. So he was a great leader. In the last 12 years, has been very, very active. I would say almost hyperactive, because he wasn't resting. He was always on duty, if not in the Vatican, out elsewhere. And he was a person who embraced all of humanity. Wherever there is an issue, he is there, and he wants to fully identify.
He further highlighted the exceptional virtues of Pope Francis as a global leader.
The poor would miss him a lot, because he spoke for them. He was very clear about the dignity of the poor person. We in Africa, for instance, he spoke strongly about being colonized again, ideologically, called ideological colonization. The women, he gave them a standing in the things of the church. He allowed them to have access to areas that they didn't have access before. So you find women in leadership positions. He stood against war. Anybody that was a victim of war was very close to Pope Francis. And that was why in Ukraine, he sent his cardinals to go in person. He would have even gone in person if it was possible. He sent ambulances, foodstuff, and all kinds of things. So, in every sense, he was a global leader. Whether it's about the environment, he wrote this famous document, Laudato Si, and a lot of other things. He was a great Pope with new vision and he innovated many good things. And that history will remember him favorably for that.
Additionally, he spoke about the profound impact of the Holy See on his personal life and the relationship with the local church.
The Pope is our father. He is the successor of St. Peter. And there is no Catholic church anywhere in the world that can say it is Catholic without the Pope. Because it's the Pope that missions, he mandates. I came here not on my own. I came here because the Pope sent me on mission. All the appointments I have got in the church were not self-appointments. They were appointments by the Pope. So I became an archbishop in Jalingo. It was the Pope of John Paul II. Then I was transferred to Jos, now transferred to Abuja. It's all the Pope. You can't exist as a church without the Pope. So we are connected, and we pray for the Pope every day at Mass. All over the world, wherever Mass is being said, the name of Pope Francis must be mentioned. Worldwide. So there is an intimate connection. There is a spiritual bond, an emotional bond. And we see him as an authoritative figure that speaks for our faith and speaks to us, to challenge us morally, challenge us ethically, and to give us the guidance we need in the faith. So the Pope means a lot. And we in Africa, especially in Nigeria, we love the Pope. We love religion, and the Pope promotes all that is good, all that is religious. So we love him. We are going to miss him. Even though he didn't visit Nigeria, we don't hold it against him at all because he has a vast territory to cover, and we understand perfectly well that no Pope gets to visit everywhere in the world during his tenure. So what we were anxiously hoping he would find the time to visit Nigeria, we engaged him on that, even when we paid an ad limina visit, the visit we sit with the Pope to interact and so on. We told him, really, please visit us in Nigeria. He said when Pope John Paul II visited, there was a great impact. But he promised he was going to come. Now God has called him to a higher place, and I'm sure from there, all that he would have said to us and prayed for us here in Nigeria will be done from heaven. So it may even be more powerful than if he came physically. What we should be asking for now is for God to give us a good Pope, a saintly Pope, a holy Pope, a Pope who listens, a Pope who will promote these values of fraternity and deal with issues that affect the earth, affect human beings. Like Laudato Si is about the environment. The Pope had to talk about the environment. The world is our home. We should be careful how we use it, what we do with it, and so on.
In conclusion, he called on African leaders to emulate the exemplary attributes of Pope Francis.
We will get, by the grace of God, another Pope who will continue with these values and keep promoting them. I hope that his type of leadership would influence many of our leaders, especially in Africa. Well, leadership is not about me. It's not about exercising great powers. It's not about accumulating material resources for yourself. It's about the people. It's reaching out to the grassroots, reaching out to the people in need, those who are rejected, marginalized, discriminated against. Our leaders are more concerned about their welfare.
In Abuja, Nigeria, Delphine Asu reporting.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Different Catholic dioceses in Africa have celebrated Requiem Masses to invoke God to rest in peace, the soul of Pope Francis, who died on Monday, April 21st. On Tuesday, the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Fort Portal in Uganda, the Right Reverend Robert Muhirwa, was joined by hundreds of the faithful in Vilika Cathedral, who included lay people, priests and religious, to celebrate a Requiem Mass, during which he explained the legacy Pope Francis was leaving behind. He said one of his most outstanding qualities was his love for the poor, which made him institute World Day for the Poor. and his championing the dignity of the elderly and grandparents, which moved him to establish the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Bishop Muhirwa also recalled Pope Francis's Declaration of the Year of Mercy in 2016, in which he invited Catholics to reflect on God's mercy and to emulate the compassion shown in the parable of the prodigal son. He also recalled the Pope's invitation of Catholics around the world to come closer to God in the ongoing Jubilee Year 2025, whose theme is Pilgrims of Hope. Bishop Muhirwa said through that theme, Pope Francis wanted to remind the faithful that we are all pilgrims on earth and must journey together in faith, love, and resilience despite the many challenges we meet in life. He called upon the faithful to carry forward the legacy the Pope was leaving behind. Pope Francis visited Uganda from November 27th to 29th, 2015. Bishop Muhirwa spoke to Vatican Radio on Wednesday.
I was privileged the Sunday that he actually declared the Sunday for the poor, that is the Sunday before Christ the King. I was there in Rome, and I heard for myself from his own mouth how he declared that Sunday being very important, that we should always remember the poor, because they represent Christ, and the poor, we kind of see the Lord suffering, so we need to show our love, the poor, be caring for them. That Sunday is always special to be celebrated the world church over. But besides that, he has also special concern for the elderly. He declared that the last week in July should also be dedicated to the grandparents and the elderly, because these people tend to be neglected. That being the case, this is also a special occasion for us to remember that as younger people, we need to have special regard for the elderly people and the grandparents. And this is close to the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, the grandparents of our Lord. So in this regard, we praise and thank the Lord for what Pope Francis has left to care for the elderly.
The Pope also described the elderly as encyclopedias. What do you say about that?
Yeah, and that's something that I've also used during my celebrating the different anniversaries of elderly people, especially when they're celebrating their golden jubilees of marriage. I urge the grandchildren to respect the elderly and strive to learn from them, because these people know a lot. Like I asked some of the grandchildren, that do you know the meaning of your names? You find that if you want to know the meaning of your name, you can ask your grandfather or your grandmother, because these people may have the one who influenced your parents to give you those names. So if you watch carefully and talk with your grandparents, they can teach you a lot of things concerning the culture, concerning the faith. And aside, they need working encyclopedias. So that's again from Pope Francis, the pastoral letter. Amoris Laetitia, he mentions all these things. He has said a lot about the family. His encyclical Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love. He urges how families ought to live together in peace and harmony. And often a quote, the three things that he says should be in every family, and please, thank you, and I'm sorry. Those three words are so key for a family to live in harmony, and I believe this is a legacy that left us. So with these few remarks, I thank the Lord, and we pray the repose of his soul.
Bishop Robert Muhirwa of Fort Portal Catholic Diocese in Uganda. In the 12 years of his pontificate, Pope Francis walked beyond the walls of the Vatican to meet people where he could find them. including in unusual places like prisons where he washed the feet of prisoners, in refugee camps where he brought the love of God to the hopeless, on the streets in the night to comfort the homeless, and in cemeteries where he prayed for those who have gone to the Heavenly Father before us. He invited the church to the spirit of synodality, that is, to be a church that listens, that walks with the others, and that refrains from judgment. His pontificate has been shaped not by greatness, but by gestures. Here we remember him shedding tears during the prayers for peace in Ukraine and kissing the feet of South Sudan's rival political leaders, President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar, pleading with them to end the war that was killing thousands of their fellow citizens, wounding many more, and displacing millions of others. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
And that brings us to the end of this special program on the late Pope Francis. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us again at the same time tomorrow. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.